We have Veterans Affairs to order. Today is February 15th, 2007. And I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2577. Mr. Keller.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 2577 allows student who participates in the Oregon Troops to Teachers program to receive funds for cost of tuition at qualified independent institutions. Limits the amount that a student may receive for the tuition to the amount charged by the state institution. This bill has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Nelson.
Chair Barker, members of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, I thank you for your consideration today of House Bill 2577 regarding our Troops to Teachers program. I want to start off, and I thought she would be here, by crediting Representative Betty Comp with this bill. She brought this before our committee, and she served on the committee.
Excuse me, Representative, could you just say your name for the record?
Oh, sorry, Representative Donna Nelson.
Thank you.
District 24. I want to credit Representative Betty Comp for this bill because she's the one who brought it to our committee, and there were many programs of hard hats to,
Helmets to Hard Hats.
Helmets to Hard Hats, yeah, Troops to Teachers, and many like that. And I was so grateful. And this one especially is meaningful. Personally, without reading the testimony here, I just want to say if we could get more good men like y'all and these veterans in our schools, I think we'd see a greater self-discipline. I think we'd see a remarkable positive change in education. And being an educator, I can say that. Anyway, as you know, the Troops to Teachers program assists veterans in putting their military training and experience to use as teachers in our schools. The program pays the resident tuition for eligible veterans when they attend a public college or university in exchange for the veterans' pledge to teach in Oregon schools. This helps our veterans earn degrees in education and complete teaching credentials. It's a great program, and it's helping to put many talented veterans to work in our classrooms. As hard as it is to find and recruit good teachers, this program is a blessing for our state. I was thrilled this past summer to get a call early one morning. And it was the Independent College Association, and they said, "What do you think about our joining your Troops to Teachers program?" And I said, "That's the best news that I've ever heard, because our state schools are already fully participating, as are our community colleges." So it's a delight today to have the Independent College representative here, and also to know that they have evaluated, truly have seen the value of this program. The benefit is that we have many veterans who live in locations where these private schools are located. And this will be one more time they won't have to travel across the state to, like they do, to get medical help. So I'm delighted that this program is going to be considered, and I do hope that you'll vote yes.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? And thank you again for all the work you've done. Mr. Andine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Gary Andine. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Independent Colleges Association. I thought I'd take about 60 seconds describing independent colleges in the state and then turn right to the bill, if you don't object. In addition to the 25 state universities and community colleges, Oregon is also blessed to have 33 independent private degree-granting institutions in the state. They enroll about 18% of the total state enrollment in post-secondary education, generate about 25% of all the degrees, and about a third of all the of all the graduate and post-baccalaureate degrees in the state. Among those 33 institutions, 19 of them are based in Oregon, regionally accredited and nonprofit. Those are the ones that pay my salary, and we call ourselves the Oregon Independent Colleges Association. Schools such as Willamette right across the street and George Fox in Representative Nelson's district. Among those 19 nonprofit institutions, 12 of them have teacher education programs, and I put some material in front of you, a little booklet. First thing in it is a little flyer that you'll be getting Monday morning in your inboxes, but it just coincidentally, it happens to be a vet studying computer engineering over at Corbin College outside of Salem here, and in the and also in the ROTC program at OSU at the same time. Just a reminder to me and to you that we do have a lot of vets going to our independent colleges in the state. In the booklet, you get a page on each of the 12 teacher education programs in the private sector. I would note that among our institutions, we generate about 37% of all the education degrees in the state come from the private colleges. About 80%, 82% exactly, of the elementary teacher education degrees come from the private colleges in Oregon. Those 12 colleges are inside the front cover of this booklet. We won't walk through the entire booklet, but it does tell you the kind of programs that we have in teacher education in the private sector in Oregon. To the bill. We're obviously in support of the bill. I've been doing a little research on the history. I'll take some credit, or some blame, I guess, for letting this bill slip through last session without coming in and saying we'd like to have the independent colleges included. It just didn't hit my radar screen until it was into its second round of committee hearings, and we didn't want to slow it down with any amendments at that point in the session. This all occurred quite late in the session that this bill actually started to get feet last time. But we said if it does pass and it does get some money, we'll probably be back in 2007 to ask permission to include the independent colleges, and sure enough, here I am today. It was funded in the going home bills in 2005 for $165,000. The evidence is just walked in the door. The evidence at the Oregon Student Assistance Commission is that not all that money got spent, and that there were a number of students who would have liked to have had some of that scholarship money to go to an independent college, but it wasn't. They weren't eligible because of the institution, and so we'd like to get that corrected. We don't know whether there'll be any money in it by the end of this session. There is not in it today, but we would hope that there might be. And should it go forward, we want to make sure that the independent colleges are eligible to be part of this program. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions, and I would hope that you might let my testimony be finished by the Executive Director of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission.
Yes, please come on.
Dennis Johnson.
Mr. Johnson. Thank you. Just identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dennis Johnson. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead.
And I have testimony. Perhaps we can get this and these as well. We'll keep a couple.
Sure. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity. It came up rather suddenly for me, and I apologize for the lateness of my arrival. I'm sure Mr. Andine has summarized the history of this legislation, and my prepared remarks do that as well, summarizing that it was the last legislature, and it came at the very end of the legislature. So the Commission began rulemaking on this in early 2006, and the first awards were distributed to students in the spring of 2006. I'm not sure what you've heard in terms of of statistics, but we have a very small pool of applicants, only 22 inquiries, 9 complete submitted applications, and of those, 6 had to be rejected because they came from the independent or the private college sector. We've awarded 3 students at public institutions and have dispersed to date just under $15,000 of the $165,000 that was available. I think it's worthwhile to be familiar with what we have done to promote the program in such a short period of time. We have been working with the Veterans Department, with the Employment Department, with the Department of Human Services, with the financial aid offices, and the schools of education at all Oregon colleges and universities. So we have gotten the word out, and the flyer that you see is evidence of that. The news release, as soon as we got the rules ready to go, we did a press release and got some coverage in the Oregonian and in other dailies and weeklies around the state. We have a number of concerns about the applicant pool, of course. First, it's just too small. Many of the veterans who may have perhaps been able to take advantage of this have been recalled. We had some inquiries from people who didn't complete the application process for that reason. So lack of veterans, lack of timeliness, and we think not so much lack of information, but it was a program that arrived late and got a late start and perhaps not a fair trial.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Representative. Could you respond to me? It's $165,000 now, and I don't frankly don't remember from last session where or how we put the money. So is that money roll over or does it disappear at the end of the biennium?
Mr. Chair, Representative Boquist, it is for this biennium only, so it goes away. It does not roll over, does not carry forward. Unfortunately, without a new appropriation, there is no money for the program.
And it's general fund dollars.
Any other questions?
I have a comment when you're going.
Go ahead, please.
Sure. One thing we might want to look at as we get farther towards the end of session is get testimony back of where we're sitting in that, so that when we know that what figure rolls back into the ending balance, we can have a discussion with the appropriate people in Ways and Means and point out that the veterans money we appropriated last time has been rolled into the ending balance, which probably would not have been anticipated in the governor's budget. And that may help us when we get down to cookie cutting on what programs we can fund and what programs we can't. Just a suggestion, Mr. Chair.
Very good suggestion. Thank you, Representative Boquist. Any other questions from the committee? Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Warnock, did you want to testify? Please.
Mr. Chair, I'm Greg Warnock, Executive Director of the Oregon War Veterans Association, located here in Salem, Oregon. And I'd like to give testimony on this particular bill because I'm a graduate of George Fox College, University now, and programs like this are very attractive to vets who are in the smaller or private schools. A lot of vets actually are avoiding, if I can say that properly, some of the larger state schools with the high-quality educational programs because of their political perspectives on veterans and military and those kinds of things. They pop up all the time. And the smaller schools can regulate that activity a little bit better, and veterans like to go to the smaller schools. There's also a higher... There is a... I can say this as a graduate of Fox, high quality of education in those institutions, primarily because of the small class sizes and the direct attention from the professors and so on. So there are a lot of attractions for people who want a good education, especially in the educational field, to go to the small schools. And I think this program would be incredibly beneficial to veterans. I would like to also just give a note that I've spoken with General Caldwell, Mike Caldwell, about this. He called me just before the hearing and asked me to give you public testimony that he and the National Guard definitely support this. We've got 1,000 guys coming back this spring from Afghanistan. A lot of them will be leaving service and will be looking for education, and this type of program is exactly what they would like to be presenting to their guys as they come back. So thank you for the testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Harley Ray. I represent the United Veteran Group of Oregon. I just want to say that we highly recommend due passage on this bill. It is a great, great help to our veterans.
Thank you. Any questions in the committee? Thank you very much for your testimony. I think we've all seen how America has been able to do better by having veterans come back, get educations, and move on. Especially that was true after World War II. But it really made a huge difference. People who came from families who had probably a lot of their parents hadn't even completed possibly grammar school, and they were able to take that next step and really move America forward. We have obviously a need for teachers, and as Representative Nelson said, this is a great program to help guide people into that. And the independent schools are, that's a great bunch of places, a good place for people to get an education, as well as the public schools. That having been said, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2577, open a work session. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2577 to the Committee on Ways and Means of the due pass recommendation, please.
Representative Schaffner moves 2577 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? If not, can you call the roll, please?
Representative Oakley?
Yes.
Representative Cowan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schaffner?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. And Representative Scott is excused for today. Motion carries. Work session on House Bill 2577 is closed. In the way of announcements, we will not be meeting on the 20th. We're pretty well caught up, so that you can clear your calendar on that day. Is there any further business to come before the committee today? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned.